Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hi there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Monday postcast. I'm not Matty Playle because Matty Playle is swanned off to Hong Kong. I'm Bruce Millington instead. And I'm joined this week by Nick Watts and Stuart Riley from the Racing Post, as well as Sam Harley from Paddy Power. As ever on this Monday postcast, we look back at a great weekend and then look ahead to what's coming up next weekend. The lads have got a midweek nap to boot, as well as a horse each to put in your Racing Post horse tracker that will hopefully prove profitable to follow. Okay, where else to start but the race of the weekend? It was the Fighting Fifth up at Newcastle. It was billed as Sam Crow versus Bouvardaire, but it turned into an absolute procession as the reigning champ, the two-time reigning champ, Bouvardaire, put the young rival Sam Crow to the sword with a comprehensive victory that has strengthened his position as favourite to complete the hat-trick at Cheltenham in March. Sam, what's the latest from Paddy Power on the champion hurdle?
Hiya, Bruce. So yeah, we've cut Bouvardaire from 2-1 into 8-11 favourite. We've Loreen at 5s, Mellon 7s, Sam Crow 8s, Somerville Boy 16s, and it's 16-1 better then.
Nick Watts, is it all over?
Yeah, you would say so on that. I mean, I think the price to end for Sam Crow is 8, so I think you could add a couple of zeros onto that. I don't think he's got a prayer of winning a champion hurdle, and Saturday proved why. I mean, Bouvardaire is just a joy to watch, isn't he? The way he gets from 8 over the hurdles is just extraordinary. It's not something you see very often, and he is so fast over them. And even when he made a mistake at the last, it didn't halt his run at all, you know, and he just careered right away. I didn't quite understand the tactics on Sam Crow. I thought they could have gone faster. He's a 2.5 mile horse at least, probably stays 3 miles, and I thought they dawdled a bit early on, which was only going to suit Bouvardaire, but he was way superior. And, you know, it's very game of Sam Crow's connections to say they're still going to go for the champion hurdle, but I cannot see any scenario in which he can win that race, none whatsoever.
What should they do with him then?
If they're going to stay over hurdles, which it sounds like they want to do, they could stretch him out on trip and go for the stayers hurdle. What's wrong with that? Or, you know, if they want to go over fences, they're still early enough in the season to do that. But if they're staying over hurdles and they go for the champion hurdle, they will not win.
They say, Stu, never be afraid of one horse, but when it's Bouvardaire and when he's done what he did to you on Saturday, I suppose you can see why Watts is so pessimistic about Sam Crow's hopes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty afraid of him. You know, if there's one horse to be afraid of, it probably is him, because there isn't quite the sort of the random factor that you can get over fences. He hurdles so sublimely that
it's one of the most underrated qualities in racing, that, isn't it? Everyone says, "Oh, they jump well when it's chasing." But when it's hurdling, people just assume they'll jump them. Saying they absolutely don't. They're taking them at speed, aren't they? And he's an absolute master of this, isn't he?
Well, absolutely. The only, like, Istabrak was the same. Nicky Henderson was comparing him very favourably in terms of just the way he gets from one side of a hurdle to the other yesterday. It's in today's paper.
Archibald was a really
lovely hurdler,
wasn't he?
And also Hurricane Fly. He absolutely gobbled them up. And it makes such a difference in these races when you're going so fast. If you can be making half a length on your rivals, like, where are they getting that back? Because he's quick between them as well.
Stu, talk about Somerville Boy, because, I mean, you know, if the Sam Crow connections were disappointed, I should imagine the Somerville Boy connections were on the floor after that, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a dismal run. Now, Tom George made the case beforehand that perhaps he wasn't fully wound up with a long season in mind for him, and he also made the case that he was pretty poor on his seasonal debut last year, and obviously he progressed through the season to be a pretty good horse in the spring. But, you know, that was way below what you would expect from him. It was pretty disappointing, and I would say it would be difficult to know where to go next with him.
Sam, 8-11 Boover, you're actually running scared there, aren't you? I think some of your rivals are slightly bigger. Is the view that he's, you know, only treading on a stone or having some similar mishap can prevent him completing the hat trick?
Yeah, Elliot said himself that he thinks it would be an absolute miracle if Sam Crow managed to turn around the form with Bouvardaire. I suppose the argument of not being afraid of one horse stands somewhat. We're still yet to see Lorena and Mellon, but outside of those two and Bouvier Dare. It's probably a weak enough division this year. Super Sunday will probably go to the Stairs. Apples Jade sounds like she's going to go to the Mares. So, I mean, outside of those, there's probably not much there. People will argue that it's a wasted year and that he should have gone chasing. I'd agree with that. But I think if Bouvier Dare turns up in one piece, he'll have the hat trick easily.
I suppose, you know, we do still have to respect Lorena after what she did last year. I mean, she could still be anything, Nick. And the other thing I want to say is, it looks like that bloody mares race means that Apples Jade is going to run there. Where do you stand on this? Because I've always said there should be a 2.5 mile championship hurdle race. There is for every other, you know, novice chasers, novice hurdlers, seasoned chasers. There isn't one for hurdlers. Everyone goes, oh yeah, but just dilute it. This mares race is robbing us of a potentially really, really interesting race with Apples Jade against Bouvier Dare. Because, I mean, what we saw yesterday, she'd give him a run.
Yeah, she would. And you're exactly right, because I think the 2 miles of the champion hurdle would be too sharp for her, so it wouldn't suit her just as it wouldn't suit Sam Crowe either. And, you know, if that materialises this season, we're probably going to have to wait for Aintree, aren't we? They do have a Grade 1 2.5 miler, which could be an absolutely fantastic race. So for that to occur, and I hope it does, we're going to have to, you know, maybe forget about Cheltenham for now and look forward 3 weeks further on to Aintree.
OK, does anyone have any thoughts on any value in the champion hurdle market? Stu, feel free to say no.
Yeah, I wouldn't be playing at the moment.
Nick?
No, it's as it should be. Bouvier Dare, a very strong favourite.
And Sam, any value anywhere, each way or whatever?
I suppose the only one each way is Mellon. I mean, he was only beaten the neck last year by Bouvier Dare. Bouvier Dare seems to... He had his wind up over the summer and seems to have improved for it. So if he continues and gets there in one piece, he's going to win, but Mellon each way is probably the one.
Okay, let's talk about our takeouts from the Ladbrokes Trophy at Newbury. The obvious conclusion is there wouldn't be that many. I mean, before the race, everyone was pretty disparaging about the quality of the field, and afterwards there was a general feeling of kind of meh. Did it excite you in any way, shape or form, Watsy?
It's always a race I like. Yeah, it didn't have the quality, but yeah, I suppose there were a few talking points. I thought Dingo Dollar ran a fantastic race. I think he deserves to be upgraded quite a bit, because I think the rain on Saturday wouldn't have suited him at all. I think he could well have won the race without that. And if you think that Dingo Dollar and Thomas Patrick kind of set the pace throughout, Thomas Patrick couldn't live with Dingo Dollar at all, went backwards, ended up being pulled up. So for Dingo Dollar to stay on as well as he did and finish, I think it was third in the end, albeit beaten quite a fair distance. I thought that was a really interesting run. And he's a good one for the spring. I think maybe, I don't know if Alan King's thinking about a national or maybe a Scottish national, but something like that. He would be my one to take out of the race, Dingo Dollar, definitely.
Stu?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting, well, by interesting, I mean weak renewal of the race. That said, I'd say sizing Tennessee, he's going to get clobbered, and he's already proven that he's one of those horses, the top end of the handicapping spectrum, but not quite up to graded class in open company. Elegant Escape looks to have Welsh National written all over him. He needs to jump better. I would say that, you know, Colin Tizard and Joe would be perfectly capable of working on that for the next month, and yeah, I'd be somewhat interested in him for the Welsh National, but I think it was one of the lesser Ladbrokes trophies that we've had in the last 10 years.
I don't think anyone would argue with that. Sam, what's Paddy Power's latest on the Welsh National?
Yep, so we've installed Sizing Tennessee as a 7-1 favourite. We've Ballyoptic and Vintage Clouds at 10s. We've Elegant Escape and Folsom Blue at 12s. And we've Miss Parfois, Impulsive Star, Rock the Casbah, and Yala Enki at 14-1 and at 16s bar.
Have you got a fancy at this stage, Sam?
I suppose Sizing Tennessee jumped around like a buck. He's one of those types of horses that he could well put in a stinker next time out. It was a great training performance by Colin Tizard, having the 1-2 here. He sort of self-admittedly says he does well with these slow, older horses. He's a 10-year-old now, Sizing Tennessee, so he'll probably be... He's done not that much mileage due to injury throughout his career, but I presume he'll be campaigned quite wisely this year with the Grand National entry at the end of the year for him. But nothing stands out for me in the market, to be honest.
What's he, any early Welsh National thoughts?
Folsom Blue might be quite interesting if he went. He's one of these old Irish horses, a bit similar to Raz de Marais, who comes over and, you know, wins the race. I think Gary O'Brien owns a bit of him, actually. So, Yeah, if he came over for it, I'd be very interested in him.
Let's talk about Santini, who ran very well and is obviously installed as a very strong favourite now for the RSA. In fact, the RSA obviously took another dimension on Sunday as well with a really good performance there. So before the lads give us their thoughts on Santini, what's the latest betting, Sam?
So we've Santini at threes, we've Next Destination sevens, Delta Work eights, Black Op 12s, On the Blind Side 16s, and we've Top of the Game, Lil Rockefeller, Vindication and Cracking Smart all at 20s.
Boiling up to be an interesting race, Stu, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you couldn't help but be impressed with what Santini did on Saturday, you know, thrown in at the deep end, grade two, and handled it all very well. I have to say, of the two, I was perhaps more taken by Delta Work. What he did at Fairy House, I was very impressed by the way he came through the race, the mistake he made at the last.
That was a worse mistake than people would think.
Absolutely.
That absolutely stopped him in his tracks.
Yeah,
there.
And the fact that he picked back up, ran all the way to the line. Davy Russell lost an iron on the run to the line, still drove him out. That was a very impressive performance. He's got Cheltenham form, and this is a race that could potentially take on another dimension this week, because both Black Op and Top of the Game are entered up at Exeter on Friday. Now, we may get one of them. If we get both of them, this market could move again.
Brilliant. It's going to be a good race. Sam, what are your thoughts on the RSA at this stage?
Yeah, I think it's a really strong division. As the guys were saying there, there's a lot to sort of be played yet. Top of the Game's one that's really exciting. I'm going to talk about him later on. But Nicky Henderson's always said that whatever Santini did over hurdles was going to be a bonus, and that he's going to come into his own over fences. He's at 3-1, I think he's quite short at this point, with a lot to happen still. So I think I'd be leaving it at the moment.
Would you leave Santini at the moment, Watsy?
I think I would do it 3-1, but that's not to say I wasn't impressed with him. I thought for a first time out over fences, it was brilliant. And, you know, it was the Albert Bartlett kind of running, wasn't it? Kilbrick and Storm was in the race on Saturday as well, but he was well beaten. And I think to do that first time up over fences is really impressive, because Newbury's a stiff jumping track. He made one mistake, but overcame that really easily. I can understand why they're taking evasive action, but, yeah, I mean, you know, for someone like me, 3-1... 6 months
no
away
now, is there?
No.
Another decent performance of the weekend was Champ. What price is he now for the Ballymore, Sam?
So we've Champ 10-1 favourite in the Ballymore. We've Thomas Darby 14s. We've Blackbow, Carefully Selected, Relegate, and Cateson all at 16s and it's 20-1 bar.
What's he? How did you like Champ?
Really liked him, yeah. I thought it was a really brave performance. And, I can understand why they're talking Cheltenham with him. But just when Sam was reading out the prices, then it was Thomas Darby that was the one that kind of took my attention, because I thought that's really strong form. And he was second to Did They Leave You Out Too at Ascot last time. And he'll improve for a step up in trip. So for me, Champ's thereabouts. But Thomas Darby is the one I'm looking to in that market, who I think could be a big challenger.
Stu, early Ballymore thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Did They Leave You Out Too would be a horse I'd be interested in for this race. I actually think the Ballymore, the way it actually plays out with the Ballymore and the Supreme, as they go hell for leather in the Supreme, and it actually turns out being a race that you need something that really stays 2 miles, has a bit of boot, but is a bit of a stayer. They actually go a lot slower in the Ballymore because it's 5 furlongs longer, and they actually end up coming down the hill and up the straight quicker, so you need something with a bit of boot to win a Ballymore. And it's where a lot of connections go wrong. They think, oh, you know, we want a bit further. We've got a slower horse. Let's actually get it in the Supreme. And Did They Leave You Out Too strikes me as a horse with a bit of speed. I'd like to see him in there. It's an interesting market. It's an open market at this stage. I think Champ could be a contender for the race, but he has to do more between now and Cheltenham to earn my money.
And Sam, what's the inside word on Black Bow? Because obviously one of your colleagues has got a big share in that one, hasn't he?
Yeah, so Tom Nugent was involved in the breeding of Black Bow. I actually prefer one other in the William Mullins camp, which is Carefully Selected. He finished second in the Champion Bumper last year, just done on the line by Relegate. I just thought he got lonely out in front, and he went and ran a good race then in Punchestown at the end of the season. But he was the one that stood out to me last year, and I think he could be a useful hurdler this year. And at 16-1, he'd be mine. in the Ballymore.
Okay, that's enough of Cheltenham. Let's look slightly closer to where we are now. 3 weeks and 1 day away. We've got the 3 weeks and 2 days away, I think, actually. We've got the King George. And what's the latest betting on that, Sam?
So we've might buy it at 7-2. We've waiting patiently sixes, Bristol Demise sevens, Native River, Bells Hill and Plitlog. And Thistlecrack all at 8 and it's 14-1 bar.
I'll tell you what, I've got Nicky Henderson down as a virtual genius, but if he gets Mike Bite back in form to win that, I will absolutely, well, you'll have to pick me up off the floor. I think 72 is a terrible price. What's the value for the King George? Don't say Mike Bite, please, Nick.
No, I wouldn't say that. I can't. You have to do a double take when you hear those prices, don't you? How he can still be favourite, I really don't know. I've wanted Bells Hill to run in this race for ages, and I hope Woody Mullins does and doesn't send him for the Lexus. And because I think the 3 miles on a flat right-handed track like Kempton will suit him brilliantly. He's kind of looked down upon because he hasn't done it at Cheltenham, as we all tend to look down on horses that don't do it at Cheltenham, but it doesn't mean he's a very good horse. He's won 4 grade ones. He had a really good spring last season, won the Punchestown Gold Cup, should have won the Irish National. Something weird happened at the last when he was going to win under top weight. He's a really, really, really good horse. And the fact that Sam says he's 8-1 and he's coming in the betting suggests that they might be thinking about it. I really hope they bring him over.
Stu, if I gave you a free fiver for the King George, who would you back?
I might do something a bit crazy and chuck it at Bristol Demise. I kind of think he's one of those horses. We all thought he was a soft ground Haydock specialist, and he proved part of that wrong. He didn't need the bottomless ground. Nigel talks about having him in much better shape and having a confidence in him that he can go to places like Kempton and show the same form. He's run very well at Aintree, which would be, you know, these speed tracks seem to suit him. And, you know, if there's the possibility that he wasn't right last season after after Haydock, as the connections have suggested, then if he is right this year, I was seriously impressed by what he did at Haydock, because he did a lot of things that I didn't think he was capable of, and so I'm now not going to rule out something else I previously didn't think he was capable of.
It's a fallacy to say he's only ever shown his best form at Haydock. Obviously he loves it there, but I mean, I remember him winning the Juvenile Grade 1 on Welsh National Day by half the track, and the jockey didn't even move. James Pyman, our esteemed colleague, is absolutely convinced this Haydock thing is a massive myth. He thinks that he's got a great chance. He thinks it's completely the wrong price in the King George. How about you, Sam?
So one that hasn't left a stable since February last year is Waiting Patiently. We still have him short in the market. So as he hasn't had the chance to dent his credentials, he's won his last 6 or 7 starts. Last time out in the Betfair Chase at Ascot, beating Kew Card fairly comfortably. I'll be excited to see him if he comes out, and he's won fresh the last couple of seasons. So I'd hope that he can return to form for Ruth Jefferson.
Okay, right then, what else has caught your beady eyes over the weekend? I want one horse each for the tracker. What's he?
I was at Newbury on Friday, and Asso won. It was his first run for a long time, and he's a really good price, and you kind of kick yourself in hindsight thinking, what were we doing ignoring such a good horse at these kind of odds? He could be set for a really good winter. He's not ground dependent like a lot of Venetia Williams's are, and he was placed in the 2017 Ryanair. If he goes back there again next March, he could be an interesting contender for that at big price.
Stewie?
You're going to have to help me out a bit here, Nick. The Ben Pauling horse that won the first race at Newbury on
Friday. Oh, in the old Aniti colours.
Yes. What was it called?
Bright Forecast.
That is its name, yes.
Aren't racing people weird? We know who trains them. We know what the colours are. No racing people ever refer to horses by their actual names, do they? It's always the Mullins thing or, the, you know, it's very strange that. Anyway, we found its name. What is
yes.
it against you?
Bright Forecast. I was pretty impressed by his performance at Newbury on Friday. I was there as well. He hit a massive price in running and then won going away. It was a taking performance. Ben Pauling was saying afterwards that I could take him to a bigger race and win one of those, but he's not going to learn what I need him to learn, so we're going to keep him to a smaller field. I want him to run with a penalty, like, you know, to obviously holds the horse in quite high esteem, and I think he's a horse that will be seeing plenty of, because he's got a lot that he needs to learn.
And Sam, who's your horse tracker contender?
So just one that flashed home in the handicap hurdle in Fairy House was a horse called Tudor City, trained by Tony Martin. He was just done on the line by Wunderlich.
Tipped by Tom Siegel and David Jennings, much to their chagrin.
He was just closing in towards the line when Robbie Colligan lost his whip. So I'd say he's one to look out for in the handicap hurdles over the Christmas period.
Okay, thank you, chaps. Well, the great Saturday action just keeps on coming. This is a really bumper time of year for racing fans. And this Saturday is no different. We've got the Betfair Tingle Creek Chase, and we're going to look at that next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back. Let's look ahead then to the weekend. And the big event of the weekend takes place at Sandown on Saturday at 3 o'clock to be precise. It's the Betfair Tingle Creek Chase, the pre-Christmas 2-mile chasing highlight, and the big names, we hope, are coming out to play. Sam, what's Paddy Power's latest betting?
So we have Altior at 4-7, we have Sco Royal 4s, St Calvados 9-2, Underso 5s, Footpad 10s, and Min at 14s, and a 16-1 bar.
I think we'd settle for 4 of those 6 running, wouldn't we, Watson? Have you got any inside track on what you think the field's going to look like?
I think it'd be a really brave shout if they sent Footpad over, bearing in mind what happened to him last time out. And it's amazing to think after the season he had last year, you can get him at 10-1 for this. But I think that's a result of obviously what happened last time, when he never looked happy, made mistakes and was well beaten when coming down to the last. So I think next time out for him, they'll probably stay domestic and look for a nicer, easier race for him. If So Real and Altior both go, then that's enough for me. Because
should we work on the basis that it's going to be Altior, So Royal and St Calvados? Should we rule Underso in or out?
Again, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something for him domestically. He's obviously been a brilliant horse, but Altior and So Royal and St Calvados set a standard I think he might find hard to match at the moment over 2 miles. So if those first three go, brilliant. If only Altior and So Royal go, that's still good. So Royal's in form. He looked brilliant over the track last season. We know that he's come back well from his win at Cheltenham recently. Altior, he always, occasionally, looks like there's a chink in his armour. I thought we had him beat in the Champion Chase when Min took it up, and
absolutely,
he was struggling.
But then he just suddenly took off, didn't he?
He does. It's incredible. And we were talking about Bouverdere earlier. Altior absolutely thrashed him in the Supreme Novices a few years ago. That's how good he is.
Tom Siegel's theory is that Altior's a 3-miler and that he just takes that long to get going. And he's not pacey enough over 2. And that if they sent him up in trip, he'd just be an absolute world beater.
He could well be, but I mean, he's not done badly at 2, has he? I think the time he'll probably try 2.5 is that Aintree race, and up till then he'll probably, you know, if it's not broke, he's not gonna, you know, if it ain't broke, it's not worth fixing. So he's going to carry on over 2 miles. I think he'll still take all the beating. I think, you know, whatever you throw at him, he seems to come through. He might hit his flat spot, but he'll come through and he'll win, because he always does.
Stu, what's your view on this? Should be a cracker, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with Nick. I think Altior absolutely hoses up here. Back in the day, I used to get Paul Nichols. He was quite adventurous. He went Tingle Creek to King George with Corto Star, and I don't see any reason why you couldn't do the same with Altior. I think Mike Bites blotting his copybook might even bring the thought.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, absolutely. It might be something that, you know, Nicky's more willing to consider now. When he thought he had both races ticked off, there was no need to do something a bit funky. But now that, you know, you can't be as nailed on that Mike Bite's going to defend his crown, maybe he could be tempted.
But you've got him winning this, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sam, how about you? I mean, So Royal's looked really decent, hasn't he? I mean, I know your colleague Frank Hickey thinks he's a really good each-way bet for the Champion Chase, just on the basis that Altior may beat him, but you're getting double-figure price, decent each-way clip, and there might only be half a dozen runners.
No, yeah, it definitely does look value, but I think the price probably isn't going to move after this race, because I think Altior is going to hose up, like the guys say. He hasn't had a chance to have a prep run, but they were very happy with his race course gallop at Newbury. We saw with Bouverdere as well that Nicky can prep them fantastically first time out. I'd say St Calvados was primed for that race in Nace. I thought it was a really good opportunity that Harry Whittington spotted. Obviously Footpad underperformed, but it was great to see him travel over for that race. The only horse I think that could challenge him if turning up would be Underso. He won this in 2016, despite it being a below par renewal. And just with the race, could cut up to three or four runners at 5-1 each way, three places stand, even if you get a five-runner field. So he could be value.
If you back him trying to do the old dirty each way and he doesn't turn up, you do your money, don't you, Sam?
You need the inside word that he's going to turn up.
Well, unfortunately, there is no inside word because Willie won't decide till about Thursday, will he? So the inside word doesn't actually exist, sadly. Okay, let's turn our attention to Aintree. Two big races there. We've got the 130, which is the Randox Health Beecher Chase over the big fences and some very familiar names at the head of the betting, Sam.
So we've Abolitionist at 6-1, we've Ballyoptic, Blackline and Theatre Territory all at 8s, we've The Last Samurai 10s, we've Out Sam and The Young Master at 12s, and it's 14-1 bar.
If I had one colleague to tip a horse for my life over the entry fences, it would be Nick Watts. He absolutely loves it. The King of the Birch. Who are you going to go for, Nick?
Ballyoptic caught my eye, actually. Twist and Davies has got a great record in this race. Obviously won it last year with Blackline 2, but he finished his season on the low. Ballyoptic finished his on a high. He ran a great race in Scottish National, just got touched off by Joe Farrell. Used to be a bit of a clumsy horse over hurdles, fell a couple of times, but his chasing form last season was really good. He beat Vintage Clouds on one occasion. He thrashed Elegant Escape at Exeter on another occasion. That looks really good form now. If he's ready to go first time out, Ballyoptic could take a lot of beating.
Stewie, what's your fancy?
Yeah, I agree with Nick. I quite like the look of Ballyoptic. He's a horse that I like, and Nigel is the sort of trainer that will win a race now rather than worry about the future, which is important with a race like this because an awful lot of these are getting into the race and they're already on a mark that gets them into the National. And that's the race that they're focusing on. That's the race they're working back from. And yeah, they want to have a nice spin round and give them a sighter of the obstacles. The horse that catches my eye for that reason is Theatre Territory. He isn't getting into the National at the moment. He's down in the 130s. He needs to go up the handicap. He's trained by Warren Greatrex. He's owned by the Whaley Coens. The one race that they want to get him into is the National. And therefore, you look at him and you think, well, you've very much got a horse here who's coming to this race. He needs to run very well in it. And he needs to progress through this season to even get into where they're looking at going with him. And for that reason, he catches my eye at a decent price.
Theatre Territory for Stu. Sam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm not sure where he's going to go yet, but Rock the Casbah for Philip Hobbs. They sort of identified the National at the end of the year for him. So I think he will go here rather than to the Welsh National, so he gets a spin around Aintree. He's known to prefer good ground, so at the moment, with all the rain that's sort of due to come in the next 2 or 3 weeks, they might take the good ground this weekend while they have the chance. He won well last time at Cheltenham, beating some smart performers in Coney Green single farm payment. It's funny, he's only 8 years old, but it seems like he's been around forever. So he's become a household name, and I just think at 16-1, I'd be disappointed if he turns up and doesn't hit the frame.
Okay, the other entry race on Saturday where you have the opportunity to try and burgle a decent early week price is the 3:15. It's the Grand Sefton, and there's plenty of Paul Nichols contenders at the head of the betting, Sam.
So we've Born Survivor at 8-1, we've Creve Hill and Shanahan's Turn at 10s, we've Art Maresque, Frodon and Gold Present all at 12s, and we've Kyle Moore Lock and Warrior's Tale at 14s and at 16-1 bar.
Stewie, if you're having a bet now, who would it be on?
There are two horses that I'm tossing it up between at the moment. One is Testify, who is just a horse I really like. I think he's well handicapped on a mark of 145, and this is the sort of race that I could see him running really well in. He jumps well, he travels. You need that in this race. They go a decent gallop. Those fences make it a real test. It's one of my favourite races of the year, so I really like him. The other one that's just catching my eye is Shanahan's Turn. He's one of these Potts horses that move to the Tizards, and you know they're just knocking it out of the park with all of them. You'd be foolish to put a line through any of them, and he's a long way down the weights, and it very much caught my eye as I looked down and I saw him all the way down there. That caught my eye. So I was originally just all on Testify, and then he's caught my eye. I'm debating about the two, but yeah, that's where I'm looking for this.
Okay, Sam, who's caught your eye?
So I'm going to go for Creve Hill. He's a six-year-old on an upward curve. He had nice reappearance when just getting touched off at Uttoxeter. I think he'll strip a lot fitter this time out, with this having been the plan. He was closing in and just looks versatile on ground-wise, so any rain this week's not going to be of much consequence to him. It shouldn't hinder his chances. I think he's likely to shorten up a good bit during the week, and I think at the moment 10-1 could be a steal.
How about you, Watsy?
I'd love to see Frodon going for this. I hope Bryony Frost is in Paul Nicholls' ear all week saying run this horse, because I think they're a match made in heaven. They're brilliant together. They won at Aintree first time out over the Mildmay course. Brilliant run behind Baron Alco last time. And, you know, I could just see them, even under top weight, putting like a crisp performance on the day, you know, going off in front, being bold, jumping brilliantly. And he's in such good form at the moment. I think he could give the weight away. So I really hope Frodon goes.
OK, thank you, chaps. Let's mop up the rest of Saturday and look ahead to the best bets between now and the weekend next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Nick Watts, Stuart Riley and Paddy Power, Sam Harley. Looking ahead to what's happening this week. We've looked at the big TV races on Saturday. Sunday, Sam, we've got a decent event over in Ireland. It's the John Durkin. Who are the names in the frame for that?
Yes, at the moment in the John Durkin, there's horses like Balco de Flow, Bells Hill, Undersow, Annabelle Fly, Min, Footpad, Presenting Percy, Disco. So a lot of big names. The one that strikes me there is Disco. We haven't seen him for a while. He actually fractured his skull in the stable in Noel Meads last year, so he was ruled out for the season. He actually won first time out both of the last 2 years, so he goes well fresh, and I think he's really exciting upon his return, and I'd say the Ryanair will be his long-term goal this year, so he'd be the pick in the field for me there.
Okay, I love the old Disco. You were nodding away there, Stu.
Yeah. Disco is a horse that I really like. I've been waiting for him to be back. The other one that catches my eye in the races is Album Photo, who was involved
in... Can't be
out the frame. Absolutely, yeah, but he was involved in quite possibly the strangest incident you've ever seen on a race course at the Punchestown Festival. He's a seriously good horse. I quite fancied him for the Ladbrokes Trophy, and obviously he didn't run, but I backed him anti-post for that. So if he turns up here, then I'll try and get my money back, because if he's up to running in a race like this, then he was a hell of a good thing off his handicap mark.
OK, Stu, before we get to the weekend, let's see if there's any wisdom we can get from the lads that will help us to swell our betting coffers. Watsy, what have you got for us?
Yeah, there's one at Sandown on Friday. Evan Williams trains it in the 225 called Croix de Neuf. It's one of these well-bred chasing sorts that the Ruckers have bought. They've got loads of horses, the State of Play colours, Capabler. This is the latest of them. One at Aintree last time out. Looks really promising novice hurdler.
Blue-red hoop.
That's it. And they'll get one that slips through the net soon and becomes a really, really good horse. And I'm hoping it's this one.
OK, what's your midweek naps, Stu?
I mean, this is brutal because I'm in the same race, but it's not the same horse.
That's all right.
I'm going head-to-head with Watsy. The horse that's really caught my eye in that race is a Paul Nicholls horse called My Way. Not run for Paul yet, but he's got some seriously good form in France. Second in a graded chase behind a horse called Whetstone, who has gone on to, you know, just win race after race. He's a grade one winner now. He was got closest to him, and I think this is a seriously good horse. He's been running in graded chases. He gets in as a novice hurdler. Interestingly, for this race, an awful lot of these, I know it's a 2 mile four race, but you generally need something with a bit of speed at Sandown, and a lot of these have already been running over 2.5-3 miles. He comes in as a pretty much a pure 2 miler. The fact that Mr. Nicholls is going here straight up is also a pointer, and yeah, he really caught my eye as I was looking through the week cards.
Okay, so the boys go head to head in a big race at Sandown on Friday. Sam, what's your midweek nap?
So I mentioned him earlier in the show. It's top of the game for Paul Nicholls in the novice chase at Exeter on Friday. As we said earlier on, it promises to be an excellent race for Exeter on a Friday, with Black Op potentially turning up as well. I suppose it depends who turns up as to what sort of price top of the game is going to be. He's meant to have schooled well at Newbury last week, and he was a really good hurdler last year, and he's a real imposing sort. So I think anything he did over hurdles last year was only going to be sort of a benefit experience-wise for this year. He was ended up being rated 154 over hurdles. So depending what price he is on Friday, if he isn't a betting proposition, I think the 25-1 around for the RSA come March is a steal, and I think he'll probably be my nap for the festival.
A 25-1 festival steal. What better way to end the show than that? Thank you, Watsy. Thank you, Stu. And thank you very much, Sam. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, we'd love you to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening or watching us on. Quick shout out for the rest of the podcasts this week. On Wednesday, myself, Steve Palmer and Paddy Power's excellent Ian McLaughlin will be doing the last golf podcast of the year. Hopefully the lads will have some winners for the QBE shootout. We've got football on Thursday, and then on Friday we're back to have a more in-depth look on what should be a fabulous weekend. So hopefully you can join us for some, if not all of those. And otherwise, I think Maddie's still away next week as well. Honestly, she gets about that girl. But we've got another Racing Post weekend review podcast next Monday.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.